Welcome to the Retired Podcast. I'm Riley.
And I'm Noah.
We're former professional athletes turned to parents and business owners.
We created this podcast to talk about sports, life, and everything in between.
Thanks for joining us. Let's get to it.
Just intro with this.
And both of our children just woke up.
I want our viewers to start to understand that every time that is a cold V8 being cracked. For another episode of the Retired Podcast, brought to you by V8 Energy. Just kidding, not yet, but soon.
We're absolutely raging on a Saturday night.
I'm getting absolutely crunk. You don't hear that word anymore.
Crunk?
Crunk.
There's lots of words you don't hear anymore.
Maybe we should just talk about that. Forget parenting and sports. Yeah. Let's just talk about old words.
I thought we were going to talk about dating today.
Yeah, we probably should. And how dating was crunk.
Dating was crunk. All right, welcome back to the Retired Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about dating. Specifically, dating athletes.
Yeah.
So let's talk about our relationship a little bit.
Sure. We met, 9 years ago?
9 years ago.
Dude, it's almost been 10 years.
Were you looking to date anybody at the time? Did you care?
Honestly, not really. I was kind of like... When was this? Summer of 16?
How do you know?
Gosh, summer of 16.
Summer 16.
Just what an iconic time. Summer of 16 was crunk.
Stop.
I had to get it in.
You're aging us.
Oh, real quick. I would just like to address the new chink in my armor. I think I have a new baby spit up stain
good.
On my waggle hoodie.
Yeah.
So... Shout out to kids. Anyways, summer 16, what a time. No, I wasn't really looking to date at the time, to be honest. I just returned from my freshman summer season of summer ball in Massachusetts. And I don't know, I just sucked it up all summer. And so I was like, okay, I just came off of a decent freshman season. Went out here to Massachusetts, thought I was going to, like, go
be the guy.
A good summer. Not the guy, but, like...
A guy?
Have a decent... Yeah, I wanted to be a dude. I sucked, and that was, like, probably the first, like, real just smack in the face of failure with the sport. And so, no, after that, I was kind of like, all right, I'm going back into my sophomore season. We're focused. We're going to get after it. I'm going to go have a monster season. Because at the time... I felt like dating was a distraction, but I found the right person who made dating not only not a distraction, but like actually made me a better baseball player. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a great way to lead us into dating athletes. Yeah. You can feel yourself a little bit. That's facts. I just feel like that's a great way to lead into today's episode because it's important when athletes are dating athletes that, or just dating in general. That
I feel like for girls,
can I female... finish that point?
Okay, fine.
Because then it just sounds dumb. I feel like it's important that you find somebody who you don't feel like is taking away from your athletic career, but pouring into it. And they don't have to be an athlete, and they don't have to understand life, but just somebody who can push you and help you achieve what you want in your sport. Yeah, sorry. Not to be rude.
I was gonna say, I feel like for female athletes, like it's almost more important for us, or maybe we feel like dating a male athlete is like one of the only options. And I think that if you look at males who are high level athletes, a lot of them do not date female athletes.
Yeah.
I think that's like so high level female athletes usually date male athletes.
Yeah.
High level male athletes usually do not. And I always think that's so interesting.
Yeah. I don't get that, to be honest.
I don't know. Whatever's your vibe.
I think you see it from time to time. You're like, whoa, power couple.
Yeah. But
yeah, I'll be honest, especially in the baseball world.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how this is going to sit with people, but like, you typically see like, if it's a high level baseball player, like going for, I hate to say it, but like the dainty girl.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know. I have always dated like softball girls, not just athletes, great. But like, I don't know. Just I found
just another notch on your belt, I guess.
No, okay, no. You are the belt. You are the belt. No, I just feel like I've always found it attractive to like basically a girl doing what I do, because baseball and softball are pretty much the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then like, especially if it's at an extremely high level and she's also better than me and an All-American and just dominates.
I wasn't an All-American yet.
Yeah, but I knew you were gonna be. That's why I'm sure. Like, yeah, this girl's the one. Yeah, no, I don't know. I guess I've never really gravitated towards like the dainty options, but I don't know.
It's just not your vibe.
I don't know. I just feel like I've always wanted to be with somebody who would enjoy my lifestyle. And I feel like when you're an athlete and your like goal is to legit go and play professionally, like that's a lot of work. That's going to be a lot of time doing things that aren't fun for most people. Mm-hmm. So to find somebody who is willing, and not just willing, but happy to join you in that journey and even push you in that journey, which is what you did. That's priceless. So that's my stance. Day an athlete, guys.
That's nice.
Like, she can even fix your swing a little bit.
You're my swing coach. What do you think? So we did long distance for 4 years, 5 years.
Yeah.
What do you feel like long distance is like?
A blessing in disguise, I feel like.
That's not what I was going to say.
Well,
I was going to say slowly dying.
Yeah, at times.
That just shows our personalities.
Here's why I say that, though. Like, I think that in college it was, because it gave us enough space to like, hey, let's just go do our thing with our sport. But I don't know. You know the old saying, like, distance makes the love grow fonder. And I feel like that was very true. Like, any time we got together was just very valuable. And we didn't take it for granted. And, I mean, we used to... Athletes, you'll know the schedule, like, especially baseball and softball players. Like, we had one off day, mandatory in season. And so, like, when it was springtime and you were playing and I was playing, there was one day that we could really...
Not even, because you had weights in the morning.
Yeah, because I had optional weights.
Well and told.
Yeah. But, like, in the fall, we would... Was that in the fall that we would meet? No, in the spring.
Do you have off days in the fall?
Yeah.
Spring.
In the spring, we would... Wednesday was the only day that we weren't playing, I think.
I don't know where your memory is at right now.
When did we meet in Waco?
Monday nights.
Oh, it was Mondays.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so...
Monday afternoon.
Yeah, on our optional, mandatory Mondays. Yeah, we would drive halfway and meet in Waco and have a date. And, like, I don't know. We really cherished those moments because we knew, like, hey, I'm not going to see you for another week. And it just made us closer, I think. But it was hard. It was very hard. And I definitely would have loved to have been with you much more than once a week in season. But I think when we got to pro ball, that was tough because that was, like, months at a time. Mm-hmm. So, and we say long distance. I mean, we're 3 hours apart, but... With our athlete schedules, it felt like we could never go and see each other for like a week straight or anything. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I don't know. What did you say?
Slowly dying. Elaborate. I just felt like it was horrible. Like, now knowing what I know about long distance and knowing how much better it is to have somebody there, and I guess it's different now because we have kids. And I can't imagine. Shout out to the moms that whose husbands are in the MLB or in the MILB and are literally solo parenting or the entire army. Season. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, in the military.
Yeah, I mean, just like superhuman beings. Yeah. I mean, I don't care who you are or how much support you have, solo parenting is difficult.
Yeah.
But now I feel like it was horrible. It was. I mean, it was like it was great. Our relationship was able to progress more emotionally.
Yeah.
We had to learn how to communicate really well. So, like, good things came out of it. And we can pick up silver linings if we want. But long distance sucks.
Yeah, it does. It is.
I feel like there's a reason. Hard. I don't know what the stat is. I'm going to look it up. I don't think long distance relationships really work out all that often.
Yeah. It takes a lot of trust and communication. I think that anytime you're away from your significant other for long periods of time, you just start to, no matter how solid the relationship feels, you just start to like question things.
You're just like live your life and your life does not involve them.
Yeah.
And it's weird because your life should involve them, but it doesn't because they're not there.
Yeah.
And it's not like you were the only person gone. It's just that my softball season, my pro season was much shorter.
Yeah.
So my pro season was like a month and a half.
Yeah. Again, I think the professional being long distance during pro ball was very difficult.
Yeah.
That was tough. But.
And you had more free time too. Like at least in college you had like long practice, you had class, you had a lot of these distractions to kind of fill your day. But in pro ball, it's like literally you have nothing else to do besides train, which you sort of do. But once you start playing games, it's like you're not really practicing a lot anymore. It's more like,
I mean, it was just like
get to the field early.
I was at the field at 2 or 3 and would be there till 11. So like there's a big chunk of time that I was busy, but like you probably weren't as much. And so
depended, like if we were playing in pro ball, we had for most professional, you get there like 1 or 2 weeks early and that's kind of our spring training. Yeah. And then you go immediately into games. When I played my rookie year, we had tournament style games. So, you know, you're playing 2 games a day, usually for 4 or 5 days in a row. And so that takes up a big chunk of time, but like there's still a lot of time in the day that you're not at the field.
Yeah. I think the best way I would sum it up is in college, it was a blessing in disguise. It was good for us because it made us early in our relationship have to communicate and trust each other and just grow in that way. And it also gave us enough space to like focus on our craft and do what we wanted to accomplish at the college level. In pro ball, it just straight up sucked. It was just like,
can you imagine still doing long distance?
No, it would be
absolutely
it would be awful. I think we got engaged in 2018. That like Thanksgiving time, that November or
October.
October. Oh yeah,
27th.
The exact day. A year later, we got married. But so that was my first off season. Like after my first short season of pro ball, we got engaged that off season, and so it was like by then I was like, okay, like I'm marrying this person. This is my person for life. And so now it's like I need this person with me.
Yeah.
You know, as much as possible. And it was like we were more long distance at that point because I was gone from February to October, if you include instructs. And so it was just...
Or even with the Railroaders and Indie Ball.
Yeah, it was just... Well...
But you were gone like a week at a time.
Yeah, but by then we lived together and it was every other week that I was gone.
We were already married.
Yeah, we were married, living together. So that was easier, but still never fun. I think early on it was good for us. Later on it sucked and we just had to fight through it. But I wouldn't... Yeah, long distance.
What's your best advice? So if you could go back and tell your younger self some words of wisdom, what would you say?
For dating in general or for long distance dating?
For specifically us and long distance dating.
I think that we did it the best that we could. Like, and so I wouldn't change anything. I don't know that we could have communicated more than we did. We met every single chance we had. We FaceTimed slept. Like, we literally would be on our laptops and just go to bed together and keep FaceTime running through the middle of the night. And I would hear you snoring.
Just outing me.
Sorry.
On our podcast.
But I don't know. Advice, I would say just communicate. Like, I can't stress that enough because, like I said, for some reason, if you're solid, like, I just feel like with distance comes trust issues, and I don't know why that is. It's just hard, especially early on in a young relationship. And so if you're not constantly open and communicating, you start to just like build up this weird resentment towards the other person for no reason, maybe just because of lack of communication. So yeah, if you're doing long distance, just communicate as much as you possibly can. Try not to go long periods of time without talking to your person because it makes things tough. But also with the athlete schedule, it's tough too because there's long periods of time that you're busy. And so just balance and communication and trying your best to put that person at the top of your priority list. I think that's something that you need to feel from a far distance away. What about you?
I feel like my perspective on relationships changed over the years. I would say, and this will be like a whole different episode, but it's kind of part of my testimony. I was not necessarily a follower or a believer really when we first met. It wasn't necessarily something I said I was a Christian, but like I went to church on like Christmas Eve and Easter and that was it. I hadn't really ever even read the Bible besides little snippets to put on like my glove, you know? And I feel like it's so backwards from the worldly view of relationships and marriage. But I feel like the person that you choose to spend the rest of your life with is more important than any job, any sport, anything. So I think when we were dating, I did not feel that way.
Yeah.
Because like in my head, I was like, all right, I have to play professionally. At that time, I still wanted to try out for the Olympics and see if I could make the team, which I didn't. And then I wanted to start the business and all that kind of stuff. And then the more that, or the older I got and the more that we kept playing, I was kind of like, honestly, this doesn't matter. And for some people, like, they're not going to agree with that. That's fine. But I feel like in a Christian worldview, that's kind of like, it's God, spouse, children.
Yeah.
And I think that when I started to see relationships like that, I was like, what are we even doing? What is even happening right now? Yeah. There's like thousands of jobs out there. We can live our life. And maybe it was just because I was understanding like freedom, because I'd been playing softball basically 24/7 since I was like 8. And I was understanding like I could literally pick up my life and move to Hawaii tomorrow. Yeah. If I really wanted to do that, I could go find a job in a tiki bar and live in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And understanding that, I was like, mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, I never got that. Like, I understand all of that, mm-hmm. and it took me a long time to realize that, literally to the point of until I retired, mm-hmm. probably. And, like, by then, again, we were married, and we were ready to start a business and a family. And so, like, I was, like, creeping there, but I never had that full revelation of, like, until I remember fondly, I was walking into Sioux Falls. Where is Sioux Falls? Indiana? North Dakota?
I feel like somewhere. It's in one of the Dakotas.
Yeah, I think it was North Dakota. It was a rough field, rough locker room. And I was on year 4 of pro ball, and this was indie ball. And I was still making just pretty garbage money and mm-hmm. away from you all the time. I was like, what am I doing right now? Mm-hmm. Like, I love this game, and I've poured everything I have into this game my entire life. But for me, I'm no longer feeling the love. Like, I seriously had a moment there. I was like, I don't love this anymore. Mm. Like, the what am I doing moment.
Yeah.
It's just like, what is happening? The things outside of the game of baseball are so much more fulfilling for my life and for my heart than what I'm forcing myself to do, because I've been so driven and I have to go back to, you know, affiliate ball and be with an MLB organization to make it to the big leagues, because that's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I just had that revelation where I was like, that doesn't matter. None of that matters. Yeah. I have a wife at home who loves me. I have awesome people around me in my corner. And like, whether I'm a big leaguer or not, I still don't think I'm going to be fulfilled.
Yeah. Like, imagine right now if you were a big leaguer.
Yeah.
And we were like rolling in the money. You had signed multi-million-dollar contracts. It still wouldn't change the fact that you're gone half the year and I'm basically raising the kids by myself.
And I'd be missing so many moments. Yeah.
And like, there's people, again, like, this is no hate on people who do that.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have their own challenges and I'm sure they navigate those. But like, for us, I just can't even.
Yeah. Yeah. People ask me all the time, like, do you think if you could go and be a big leaguer right now, like, would you go back to the game? I'm like, honestly, no. I know all the money and the fame and the, you know, I could bring you guys to a lot of places, maybe even everywhere, but like, I don't know. There's just something about it. It's just not, I don't think it would fulfill me. I can't say it's not, I don't know. Cause I'm not in it, but you know, back to the Christian standpoint, like I know that God didn't have that planned out for me. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just why it didn't happen. And I'm confident in saying that. It didn't have to do with lack of work ethic or anything like that. It just wasn't in the cards, and that's okay. And I have found peace and fulfillment in that. And so I think that if I had achieved that and been doing it for selfish reasons or things like that, I wouldn't find fulfillment. And even if it was for good reasons, mm-hmm. even if it was for God's glory, there's something about being with the ones you love that is the most fulfilling thing.
Especially when kids get involved.
Yeah. Like, I can imagine missing, you know, we kind of talked about this in a couple podcasts ago, where the everyday little moments mm-hmm. are the things that make parenting so special. It's a grind, it's a lot, and it's most of the time overstimulating and very just exhausting.
And we're still newbies.
But there's just these little moments throughout the day that are just magical. And like, if I was playing big league baseball, I wouldn't get that.
Yeah.
And so, I think that, I'm good. But like you said, it took me a while to figure that out and realize that. So back on track, like, what were we even talking about? Advice?
Yeah. No, that's good. I feel like that's good. We talked about what we'd do different. And
but that kind of changes my answer a little bit. Like, definitely communicate, mm-hmm. and all those things. But yeah, don't. It's hard because if you're two athletes and you're dating, mm-hmm. like, you want to stay driven. You want to do well in school. You want to go and thrive in your sport. But don't forget, like, life is not designed to go and just excel at a career. Like, mm-hmm. you're designed, we're all, I believe, designed to be with other humans, mm-hmm. and in love. And it's just, that will always trump all. And I think that for far too long, we were both at times so just focused on career, sport, school, thrive, do the best we can, mm-hmm. and make sure we try to keep this relationship intact too, just so that works out too. And it's like you said, God, family, relationship, or spouse, God, mm-hmm. spouse, family, and kids. And so, I'm glad that we realized that. I just wish it didn't take me so long, because I swear I like forced myself to play baseball longer than I needed to, but I also finished and ended my career on my own terms, and I was happy with that. And I feel like I ended it exactly how God had planned it. And I learned exactly what I think he wanted me to. And it's helped me as a parent and a spouse, I think. So,
yeah.
I have a question about dating athletes, just kind of on the topic of not advice, but, you know what? I had a question and I completely lost it.
Do you think dating is a distraction? I know you touched on it earlier.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. So how do you manage dating as a distraction, or is it a distraction, and how do you handle that as an athlete?
I think it will always depend on the person you're dating makes you.
Yes.
Because I feel like, and this is, you know, when you're looking for someone you want to marry, and things change all the time, you know, you go through different seasons of life and people change.
Different seasons of lice too.
Different seasons of lice. Lots of licing happening out there. Anyways. But I feel like you need to be with somebody who makes you the best version of yourself.
Yeah.
And that won't always hold true. Like I said, you go through things in life and sometimes it will change, but for the most part, it's not necessarily about compatibility. Even that does play a role. It's about, you know, what do you feel like, what qualities do they bring out in you that you like? And if, you know, people talk about toxic relationships, I feel like those are just relationships where people bring out the worst in each other.
Yeah.
And I think that if you're with somebody like that, even if you love them, even if you're compatible, if you bring out the worst in each other, you're just not going to make it very far.
Yeah. And I think it's funny too, because like, at least I've heard this, like our generation, mm-hmm. or the worldview is that like, that's actually a healthy relationship, is when it's so fiery that you just get so angry at each other sometimes. It's like
no.
It's okay to have like a passionate, heated argument with somebody that you love, but like, there's a big difference between a toxic relationship that brings out the worst of each other all the time.
Definitely. And you know, if you're listening to this, you know exactly what we're talking about.
It's exhausting.
No, but I think that in a relationship, it's not distracting if you're with somebody who pushes you to be better. And they don't have to be an athlete. I know we talk about that a lot, but it's just like an obvious, you know, comparison.
Well, and I think that's where the athlete, like dating an athlete, makes life easier, mm-hmm. Because they understand time commitment that you have to have to your sport. They understand the schedule.
Yeah.
They're not going to be mad at you for being away from your phone for 5 hours because you were at practice. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I feel like dating athletes is a huge plus.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, Yogi's snoring is so loud. I'm so sorry if you hear that. I mean, she's made an appearance in every episode. She refuses to be in a different room than us, which is cute, but it's also like...
She's dependent.
She sounds like a pig. Anyways. She kind of is. I think that... What was the question again?
Is dating a distraction?
Yes. Okay. I'm going to shout out to my dad on this one. It's actually more of a call out, not a shout out. Sorry, Dad. When I first started dating you,
mm-hmm.
my dad was so out on it. Because like I said, I had just come back from a pretty
rough... Oh, I could tell.
A pretty rough summer. And like... You know, my freshman year was okay. I won a starting position and hit like 260 or mm-hmm. no, 270 or something like that. And so the last thing that I needed was a girlfriend.
Yeah. Which is shocking to me, because the hilarious part about it is my parents have never really talked about dating people that I've dated being a distraction. Yeah. Because I never, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I really never let anybody take me away from what I knew I wanted to do. Like, I was always putting in time in school. My yeah. grades were always great. I was in all the AP classes, blah, blah, blah. And so to hear that somebody else's parents thought that I was a distraction, I literally cackled because I was like, yeah. I can't even imagine. It's just hilarious to me. Like, obviously, he didn't know me. Your parents didn't really know me.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, the more they got to know me, they didn't think that way anymore. But yeah. I just thought it was hilarious because I had never expected that ever.
I had to, like, hold my ground. I was like, no, like, I swear when we go, like, when I go to visit her, we're hitting. We're not, I'm not wasting my time. And, yeah, it was, that was a tough first few months. It was, like, trying to convince my parents that I am.
Remember that one time you tried to sneak to College Station?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But your parents' bank account was attached to your debit card.
Yeah.
And they saw the charge at the gas station in College Station.
Yeah. I was trying to be spontaneous and romantic. And it was probably one of those Mondays where instead of meeting in Waco, maybe I said like, hey, I can't meet this week. I got a test or something. And then I drove all the way to College Station to surprise her. And, everything was smooth sailing until I left and had to get gas at a Valero in Bryan. And my dad texted me the next day. He's like, why'd you get gas in Bryan College Station? And I was like, I was seeing Riley. I went down to have a hitting session with my hitting coach, Riley, who's also my girlfriend. Yeah. But no, I think that, like you said earlier, just piggybacking off your point, like, they're not a distraction as long as they bring out the best in you. Mm-hmm. And that's rare to find though. I mean, it's hard to have balance between, hey, we're dating and we're going to go work hard together and like both, you know, perfect our craft while also like spend quality time together. And I think that's something that we found that I like to think is rare is like for us, quality time also was us perfecting our craft. Like we genuinely loved going and hitting for hours.
Yeah.
And just talking baseball and softball. And like, that was, it sounds so dumb, but like that was a date for us. Mm-hmm. And we were cool with that. It didn't have to be a fancy dinner. Like most of the times when we would go and see each other, especially in season or even in the off season, most of the time spent together was hitting.
Yeah. At the indoor.
Yeah. And, I mean, gosh, I remember one time I came down to see you and you literally like, it took you 2 hours of one more, you know, the one more swing, one more.
Yeah.
2 hours of that because you were so unsatisfied. And I seriously, in that moment, I was like, dude, this girl's kind of psycho, but I love that. Like, I'm like, this girl, she gets
still
it.
Because
I was kind of like that. I mean, I don't think I was nearly as intense as you. I would have just gotten so pissed at some point and just been like, screw it. I'll just figure it out tomorrow. But like, you were not going to do that. You're like, I'm figuring this out today. Keep feeding me balls. That's why I remember it, because I was the one feeding.
Yeah, just the machine.
And I was like, dude, I have to leave in like 5 hours. Can we please go grab dinner or something? You're like, no, one more. But that was just you. That's just the way you're wired. And I love that about you. And so I think that, yeah, if you can find another person who, athlete or not, who can just bring out the best in you like that. And
yeah. It sounds kind of selfish when you say it out loud, but I do honestly think that, like, if you're pouring into each other equally, that is like a result of that. I think being the best version of yourself is a result of them pouring into you and you pouring into them.
Yeah.
And it's like a reciprocal thing.
Yeah.
And when you have imbalances in the reciprocity,
nice.
That's when you start to get into more like a toxic.
Yeah.
Or you feel like you're emptying your tank always and the person's not giving back.
On the complete flip side, though, I could see how. And I could see why sometimes athletes choose to not date athletes. Because it's like, if you can find somebody who's not an athlete, who can understand your schedule and workload of being a student athlete, or just an athlete at any level, and support that, that could also be a great thing. Because now you're not two athletes trying to manage time and find little bits of time to hang out. It's like, you've got one athlete who has to grind a lot.
She's more available, or he's more available.
She or he is more available and can kind of, and if they're willing to support your time and commitment to your sport and pour into you and still bring out the best of you in that way, like that's also just as good. So, no, I think it's, I mean, if it was up to me, I don't know, let me ask you that. If you had to choose, well, I already know your answer. as an athlete, would you date an athlete if you didn't know anything about me or us or anything, and you could go back, would it always be date an athlete for you?
I think I'm way too much of a tomboy to not.
Yeah.
So. True.
Cause like, what kind of guy would you date if it wasn't an athlete, dude?
Feel better. No, I don't.
No, you gotta think. Non-athlete, what does he do? Well, what is he like?
Technically, it is a collegiate sport, but I dated rodeo people when I was in high school.
Nope, collegiate sport, non-athlete, doesn't do athletic things.
I mean, I like people who are focused, maybe like
someone smart, like really smart,
like lawyer, doctor,
yeah,
business person, entrepreneur,
yeah,
something where they're entrepreneur, something where they're focused and
yeah,
like hardworking.
Yeah, I think you'd be with like a. This is probably just because you're grandpa, but like you'd be with like an oil man, somebody in the oil field.
Yeah. A land man. No, yeah. Probably not. Definitely not.
You would have dated like a geologist.
Definitely.
Like somebody who had an equal love for rocks.
If you're listening to this for the first time, I was a geophysics major.
Yeah.
For my first couple years in college, and I still love rocks. My rock collection is actually upstairs.
You're my rock.
Oh, rock of Gibraltar.
Jinx. Yeah. Well, that's dating. I mean, yeah.
If you like what you heard, go ahead and leave us a subscribe.
Leave us a subscribe.
On YouTube. We're also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
And we have reached the 40 subscriber mark.
We have.
Moving up in the world. Let's go. We would love to get to 4 million by the end of the year. So...
I didn't register what you said at first.
4 million subs by the end of the year.
Cool.
Because this is the greatest podcast ever. Where we don't talk about...
anything.
Anything serious. I'm just too exhausted to talk about serious
things. This is earlier today, though.
We actually started filming this podcast
at 12:16 a.m. currently.
And we typically start filming at like 1:30 in the morning. So
that's correct.
This is a huge win. And now we're going to go get some sleep.
That's correct.
Thanks for tuning in. Signing off. We'll see you in the next one. Bye. Shout out to V8. Love you. Sponsor us.